This is the True Voice Media Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Back in 2011, I started a social business agency called True Voice Media. In 2013, I launched this podcast because my audience told me that they wanted to learn more about how social media could help them grow their business, but they wanted it to be interesting and without all the standard social media hype and BS. Just someone who will give it to them straight with honest, simple strategies that they can use today. If you're a new listener and that sounds like what you want too, listen to this episode. And if you love it, subscribe to our show. We'd love to have you on board. So without further ado, let's get started. This is episode 43. And for episode 43, I have a gentleman on the show whose name is Tim Matthews. But he's no ordinary Tim Matthews. He is a superb Tim Matthews. And Tim, I would like you to tell everybody who you are and what you do so that they don't get you confused with any other Tim Matthews that are out there.
Okay, well, I am the Tim Matthews who is the author of The Professional Marketer and the writer and curator of Matthews on Marketing. So I guess that's what makes me exceptional.
You know what? I would agree. Also, we both have delightful voices today because as we were chatting a little bit before we got started, both of us are on new microphones. I'm very excited about mine. Tell everybody what you're talking on today.
I just purchased a Blue Nessie because I do more podcasts and webcasts these days. And in addition to sounding good, it looks good too. It's an old-timey microphone that, as I was mentioning earlier, matches my MacBook. So I'm all matchy-matchy today.
Please tell me that at some point you're going to start out a broadcast or a podcast with "Today in the News."
It is tempting. I've actually picked up the microphone before and acted like an old-time broadcaster, so it is tempting.
I like it. I am talking on the blackout edition of the Blue Yeti, and I have the pop filter too, so anytime I have a P or a T today, it's going to sound much better than in any episode in the past.
Much easier than avoiding those words altogether.
Exactly. You'd be surprised at how many P's, B's, and T's there are in the English language.
Could be a good online drinking game during podcasts.
Yeah, you know what? I think. Well, I'm drinking right now pretty heavily, so we'll see where this show goes. So the reason I wanted to have you on is it's early in the year. People are planning, they're thinking, they're going about trying to decide how to grow and be awesome in 2016. And I have a ton of ideas myself, but you do too. In fact, you wrote an entire post for marketers about what their 2016 New Year's resolutions should be. Can you tell me more about where that post came from, the idea behind it, and let everybody know kind of, you know, where you fit in to be able to even come up with a post like that?
Sure. So for the past 3 years or so, I've been using this tool with my teams. And the inspiration came from a company where I worked a company or so ago where we had a shutdown during the Christmas break, and it was pretty slow, obviously. And I became reflective about what we could do better in the new year. And, you know, the first week back at work can tend to be kind of slow, a bit lethargic. So I thought, why don't we have not a regular marketing meeting, but a meeting to talk about what would our resolutions be if we were going to set resolutions for the whole department? So that's where the idea came from.
Well, I don't want to keep our listeners in anticipation, so let's get right to it. I'm going to give you the opportunity to tell us about some of these resolutions, so I want you to prioritize them. I don't know if you and I have enough time to go through all of them, which is why I'm going to link to the full post in the show notes. But I think for everybody to get a better idea, we should talk through some of these resolutions. So let's start at the top. What do you think is the number one resolution that you would suggest for marketers in 2016?
Okay, so my favorite exercise that I do every year with my team is called Be the Buyer Day. So the dirty little secret among marketers is that we don't spend enough time talking to customers and, you know, going to visit customers because we're not in sales. So Be the Buyer Day is the next best thing. You act like one of your buyers and you simulate the experience of going through the process of buying your product and that of two or three other competitors. And I like this one because, number one, it requires no preparation. You get into a meeting room, you divide up into teams, And then you decide who's going to go and look at what competitor. And the great thing is that you find out all kinds of interesting stuff. So what you do is you say, I'm going to buy a widget from Acme.com and Acme's competitor, AcmePrime.com, you know, whatever the names of the companies are. And you come back in half a day or so, and you just read out your observations. And it's amazing how much you'll find out about how good and how bad your competition is, and equally, how good and how bad your own company is. And from the output of this exercise, you can resolve to fix something or steal a great idea from one of your competitors. So it's really easy to do, a lot of fun. We've had team names. We've given out prizes. I highly recommend it.
So a couple questions about that. The one I want you to come back to is what kind of prizes. But the more important one, and really just to make this really useful for any of the marketers that are listening right now, did you do any sort of prep work prior to this exercise where we talk about the persona of the person you're trying to reach? Because obviously, if you're trying to sell a widget and you're looking at the process of the buyer for company A, B, and C, if you're dealing with a 75-year-old woman who's tech-challenged using, you know, and a really old laptop versus a millennial who's buying on their phone, you're going to have a very different experience. So how much prep goes into talking to the team that's doing this exercise about who their buyer is and getting into that mindset, sort of method acting?
That's a really good question. I am a big believer in buyer personas. I haven't exactly done that, but what I have done in the past is, as the head of marketing, figure out what the teams should be. And typically I like to get somebody who knows nothing about the competitor or very little, and a product expert. So the product expert can be the one who is looking for certain things, certain signals, maybe certain questions to ask if you actually get a chat agent or someone on the phone. Whereas the person who doesn't know anything is acting like someone just coming to your site for the first time or coming to a competitor's site for the first time. So now, if you do have the luxury of, you know, finding your persona and someone like that in your company, then by all means, you know, pick a millennial, you know, pick a senior citizen, whatever it happens to be. That's not a bad idea.
So what sort of things are you instructing people to look for, or are you just kind of saying, be the buyer, tell me what you think?
Yeah, be the buyer. I mean, yes. I mean, the problem is if you have somebody who is the product manager, for example, and they're looking at a competitor's site, they've got a predisposition of bias, right? And even a kind of a competitive disposition where they're trying to find faults. But I'm saying just go for it. Tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. And in some cases, you may want to give people who know very little, you know, enough information to sound plausibly like a buyer. That might be one thing you could do. But there's all kinds of really interesting stuff you find out. And I think the stuff you find out about your own company is among the most valuable.
It's interesting when you said you kind of prepped them so that they could be a plausible buyer. Are you suggesting that you kind of take this exercise almost to completion and even see what the sales follow-up process looks like? Or are you really just looking at the highest level of it? If I were looking for X, Y, and Z, and what do I see on the site and how does it strike me? Like, how deep do you think marketers should really be taking this?
So first of all, just a footnote for ethics. So I like to make sure that I represent myself as me. So I wouldn't suggest misrepresenting yourself, but I take it as far as I can go short of actually really wasting the time of a sales representative, because I want to be respectful and certainly not buying the product. But fill out the form and see what kind of email you get back. Does somebody actually call you back? Call up the 800 number and figure out if you can get somebody on the phone. Call one of their partners and see how well-versed their partners are. So yeah, simulate beyond just looking at the website. Really see what it's like to be a buyer and how good or how bad the service is that you get.
Do you have a checklist or something that you've put together that you can kind of put people through? I don't know if it's something we could, if you have it, we could add it in the show notes, but I'm thinking for people to go through this exercise, making sure that they don't miss the key things, obviously visiting the website, checking out the social media presence, calling the phone number, emailing the email or filling out a contact form. You know, what, do you have any sort of anything put together, or is it just kind of, it's about sending people in there kind of raw and seeing what comes back?
Yeah, you know, I did write a blog post about this a year or so ago, so I can certainly send that link over. I like to give people not too much prep, mm-hmm. so they're not biased, but they need to know what the objective is. The objective is to, you know, try and buy a product.
Excellent.
And see how it goes.
Okay, cool. So that, I think that's a really good marketing resolution for any of the marketers that are out there listening. I mean, one, that's just a great idea to do all the time, but if you're looking for a reason, we just, you know, came into the new year, I think this is a really good idea to put yourself in your buyer's shoes and see what it's like to buy from yourself or to buy from your competitors. So what's resolution number two? What do you got on the plate for that?
Number two, which could be an outcome of Be the Buyer Day, is steal two great ideas. There's a great book by Austin Kleon called Steal Like an Artist. And he talks about the fact that, you know, most artists over time have actually, you know, taken ideas, if not influence, from others. Steve Jobs was famous for parroting this line about, you know, great artists stealing. So I think a great way to figure out what you should do for the new year is find some fresh new ideas. And I like it too, because it's not like creating an entire new marketing plan. It's find two good things and go ahead and implement them. So just for an example, we found something really cool from a company called HubSpot, which is a marketing automation platform. And when their thank you page, after you download an asset, has a button that says, share this with a friend. And I thought, wow, what a great idea. After you get the white paper or ebook, right away you can share it with a buddy or your boss. And I thought, that's such a simple thing to do. So we stole that idea, and it took, you know, a week, let's just say, to implement.
So let me ask you this. In this particular part of the exercise, do you think that it also makes sense to expand it beyond just what you learn from being the buyer day, but also actually going out and looking at all sorts of stuff that's out there, maybe from completely different industries or completely different types of companies?
I think that's a great idea, because, you know, we all envy Apple secretly as marketers, right? So maybe you go, you know, into consumer goods, or maybe you go and look at a retail operation. Some retail folks are great at online marketing. So yeah, don't limit yourself, and, you know, allow people to have crazy ideas. You never know. Either the crazy idea or some derivative might be a great idea for your business.
Okay.
So yeah, certainly expand your horizons.
Okay, I love the idea. What are some of the ways, I mean, aside from the HubSpot example, in working with clients, have you seen any really cool examples of ways that this has played out?
In terms of things that we've
kind of the steal like an artist idea.
Yeah, so, you know, I run a marketing team here at Encapsula, which I didn't get to in my intro. But we have found things from, for example, our business partners, the vendors that we use. I'm on all kinds of distribution lists. So like just yesterday, I saw an email from a company, and at the bottom of the email, it had all the logos of their customers. And the reason they put it there is it's known as social proof. So, you know, I could trust them, they're a legitimate vendor. So I should therefore kind of click through. I'm really big on online optimization, so I tend to look for stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's just one thing that I saw. But, you know, it's all around. And I'm stuck in traffic quite a bit on 101 here in California in the evening. I'm looking at all the billboards. You know, it's the great thing about being a marketer is that it's all around you all the time. And you can find information and ideas almost everywhere.
And you know what I'm also loving about this conversation so far and just the ideas that you're presenting is that these aren't just things that you can do for your clients or just things that you can do for your own company, but this is just something that you can do that I think will work really well. So if you're an agency side marketer, someone in our shoes and we're consulting with clients, this is a really good exercise to put them through where you can be a buyer in their journey and look at their customers and use that as feedback for your strategy. But then if you're client side, you're going to have a lot of value that you can do as well by bringing those sort of insights into your company. And then same thing with this stealing of an idea. These aren't even things that just marketers can use. These are things that you can use in operations. These are things that you can use in sales, you know, kind of all across the organization. And again, both from agency and client side. So I'm loving both of these resolutions so far.
Cool.
Yeah, good work. So anything more on those, the first two, that we need to set up the third one?
Yeah, so I'll just say that I've never done this, but I like your idea of an agency using these two ideas, especially the Be the Buyer Day. I think that'd be a really fun thing for an agency to propose to a client. It's never happened to me, but if One of my agencies actually, you know, catered lunch and facilitated such a session. That would be pretty cool. And I could see a lot of value and discussion coming out of that. That would be valuable for both sides. So,
yeah, I can even see it as a business development tool, quite frankly. You can do something sure. along the lines of, you know, if you're courting a prospect, you could do this Be a Buyer Day for them and for their competitors. Bring that back as part of the conversation in the sales process and actually share it to them and say, hey, here's something I've discovered. And then in doing it, I came up with these couple ideas that it looks like they're doing well. We should talk. So I think it could even be a really good sales tactic to use.
Right.
Yeah. So these are really just, you know, good business resolutions, but, you know, framing it in the context of marketers helps makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah. And, you know, also, I just found that, you know, you've got a little bit of downtime beginning of the year, so it's a good time of the year to do it. But you might also find yourself slow in the summer. So there's no reason you couldn't have a kind of a mid-year resolution, but you can do it pretty much any time.
Yeah, it really depends on the business. I always try and take two of the last weeks of the year, sometime in December, I like to try and take about 2 weeks, quote unquote, off. And you know, as you know, there's really no such thing as off when you own your own company. But I try to take it off and really just strategize and think and read other people's blog posts and listen to podcasts and catch up on all the media that I didn't have time to throughout the year. And I use that to give myself ideas moving into the next year. Today, I only got about 3 or 4 days, but yeah, still super helpful.
Yeah, I envy you.
So talk to me about resolution number 3. What else do you have that you would say marketers should be doing at this time of year?
So resolution number 3 is to create some top 10 lists. So January is actually named after the Roman god Janus, and it's the double-headed god that looks forward and backwards. So I like to look back at the past year and see how we did. And to make it simple, I like to have the team come in with top 10 lists. So for example, what were our top 10 blog posts? Most read, most shared, you know, longest time on site, whatever metrics you care about. And the reason I like it is it really focuses the conversation that you rank 10, you know, could be infographics, could be events, could be webcasts, you know, whatever it is. And then do something really simple. You throw out the bottom 5, you look at the top 5, and you say, all right, how do we create more that are like these? How do we take our calendar for blog posts and make sure we have more that look like our top 5 most shared blogs or tweets or infographics or whatever it happens to be? And of course, you know, you can do your David Letterman imitation and have fun with it in the meeting, but throw out your typical, you know, weekly meeting plan and just assign your staff a top 10 list to come in with. And it's really focusing and it's a fun conversation. And again, it can be accomplished in one meeting. It doesn't take a lot of time to discuss and make some decisions based on it.
I really like that advice. I wrote a blog post probably a couple of years ago where I suggested that people could vastly increase their web traffic by doing this one simple thing. And the one simple thing was at the end of the year, look back on all of your traffic for the entire year and look at the basically top 10 posts that you have and see if any of them are disproportionately getting more traffic and think about writing more on that subject. Now, sometimes you're going to nail it with keywords. Sometimes you're going to nail it with topic. But overall, it was the idea of this is what your audience is looking for. If you want to increase your web traffic, then go for that. The other side of it is you can use that same exercise and say, what are the pages, the top 10 pages that produced, that drove conversions? You know, I love this idea because you look at what are the top 10 traffic sources by volume, what are the top 10 traffic sources by conversion. So this top 10 idea is really good, especially when you consider throwing out those bottom ones and focusing on that really high value items.
Exactly.
Awesome. So how many total resolutions did you have?
So I try and use one of these per year. So this year we did a top 10 list meeting because we did a Be the Buyer Day last year. So I want to mix it up a little bit. And so I challenged the team and we had top 10 blogs. We had top 10 advocates. So we actually cultivate advocates to help us out in our online marketing. Mm-hmm. Who are they? We should all know their names. So it's fun. And per your comment earlier, you know, we're trying to, it's a fun conversation because we ask questions like, Was it the title of the blog post? Was it the topic? Was it the keywords? Was it the most read or the most shared? So it's kind of fun to think about that. And then with our advocates, you know, our top advocate in the world happens to be in Japan. And we had a fun conversation about why is Yuichi in Japan our number one advocate? We're in California. We have a relatively small number of customers in Japan. And the answer was that we solved his problem really quickly. And we were very, our sales team, I should say, was very efficient and respectful of his time. And he works for a large automotive company, and he absolutely loves us. So you never know who's going to be touting your goods.
Got it. So interestingly, I didn't realize it, but are you suggesting that you make one that you do one of these resolutions per year, or were you suggesting sort of the full run of it for a company? And I guess it would also depend on the life cycle, the size of the team, all that
depends.
Sort of stuff.
I personally, so for my team, I try to pick one because I'm giving a long time ago, one of my employees called me the work delivery vehicle. So when people see me coming, they know I've got assignments for them. So I try not to make a long laundry list of stuff because I'm already giving them assignments already. But this is just like one fun, different thing. And maybe as a head of marketing, you give it to one of your lieutenants and let them run it. But yeah, I do one for my team, and then I personally do a couple more. So this year, I do Steal Two Great Ideas probably on a monthly basis. I'm always looking around for cool stuff. So I did that one. And I also we didn't talk about that, but I have a couple other resolutions about setting a development plan for me personally, for my team to get to the next level. So I do a couple.
All right, cool. Well, I don't want to give away the whole thing because I want people to visit your website and I want them to see not just this year's resolutions, but look back through and see if they can glean some more insights and find some more value for them and the work that they're doing either on the agency side or as an in-house or even as a solopreneur, which a lot of our listeners are. So I think those are three really good resolutions. I think people should definitely check out the blog post. But I'm gonna actually change directions here. So let's go to a different topic. Hey, everyone. My apologies for the interruption, but I need to pause real quick just to thank our sponsors and partners who make this show possible. Today, I want to point out a partner of ours. It's a piece of software that we use called Contactually. Contactually is a CRM, and I know that when most people hear the word CRM, they let out a collective groan, because if they're a marketer or a salesperson, they probably have these painful memories of multiple months of setting up, reporting issues, unintuitive interfaces, just awful experiences. And realistically, most salespeople just want to be able to visualize their pipeline and keep in touch with the people who matter and who are important. How hard should that really be? But I'll tell you, when I think of CRM, I actually think of something different, because I'm staying top of mind with my network and I'm keeping in touch with my prospects. And when I meet someone at an event, I'm going to have a wealth of information about them and an email in their inbox by the next morning. How do I do it? Contactually. Contactually is a CRM that is designed to maintain relationships and close deals. I can personally tell you that it has been wonderful for our business. For small businesses and individual salespeople, Contactually is the CRM you've been waiting for. It took me about 3 to 5 hours to set it up initially, and after that, I was keeping in touch with about 30 to 50 more people per week, and no, I am not exaggerating. So if you don't have a CRM or you're unhappy with your current CRM, try Contactually, totally risk-free for 30 days. If you hate it, you've lost nothing. But if you love it, trust me when I tell you that it pays for itself faster than you can believe. Learn more and try it for free by visiting truevoicemedia.com/CRM. Tell me about some of your favorite tools or some hacks or solutions that you figured out that have made you a more effective marketer. It could be a tool, a technology, some sort of a process that you've come up with.
Yep.
What is it that you find a tremendous amount of value in?
So I'm going to tell you about a tool and then I'll tell you how to use that tool, which I think is going to be a really cool marketing hack. So I love a product called Rev. It's an app for the iPhone. And it's essentially a voice recorder and transcription service. And I love it because I often have ideas for, you know, blogs, for example, in the strangest places. Typically, it's when I'm swimming, and I can't write, obviously, when I'm swimming.
I have it so in the shower. It's the weirdest thing. What is it about water that makes ideas happen?
I don't know. But what I'll do is I'll finish swimming, and I'll be in the car on the way to work, and I'll essentially dictate my blog post over my speakerphone, and I push a button, and it goes off to Rev, and they get someone around the world to transcribe it, and usually in a couple hours, it's sitting in my inbox. So that's a really cool way for me, who is pressed for time and trying to write a lot of content, to very efficiently use my time and essentially dictate a blog post. It's never perfect, but sometimes you're just in the zone and you can speak the blog and it's pretty close to what you're looking to deliver.
Yeah, I like that.
So that's
called
the tool.
Rev, R-E-V?
It's R-E-V, yeah. It's a little red app. You'll see it. You'll know when you got it. And I believe their site is just rev.com, but I'll confirm that.
All right, cool. And we'll definitely put that in the show notes, as we will with all the other things that we've mentioned so far.
Yeah. And the cool marketing hack is, I'm a big believer of, people have different terms for this, reusable content, divisible content, doing something once and then getting lots of assets out of it. So one thing we started doing was using Rev to transcribe our webcasts. And this is a really easy way to make a blog post or several blog posts out of a webcast or a podcast.
I like it.
And so it's a and the thing about it too is it's super cheap. I mean, people I think are sometimes afraid of transcription because they presume it's going to be expensive, but it's it's small dollars. It's less than you pay someone per hour to write a blog post to get your whole webcast transcribed. So that's a really cool thing you can use, and it's so easy.
I like that. So one of the things that we've used Fiverr, and on Fiverr I found a couple of vendors who will do like up to 10 minutes of transcription for like $5. And when you think about that level, we are huge fans of repurposing content here at True Voice Media. If you think about, creating a 10-minute video, chopping it up into 5 2-minute videos, chopping those into 30-second videos, and then getting the transcription for the full thing at 10 minutes for $5, and what you can do with that, pulling out quotes to put it over screenshots for Instagram. You look at a production of a 10-minute video and that creating, potentially up to, 20 or 30 pieces of content, depending upon, how good it is.
Absolutely.
I'm a huge fan of that. So I'm going to definitely look at Rev. We've been using Fiverr, but it always is a good idea to get another idea in the pipeline.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and actually just to call back to, I'm sure I've mentioned this in previous episodes where I've said one of the things that we do, a lot of our clients are in highly regulated industries, busy executives, and they don't have time to blog and this and that. So one of the things we do is I have my copywriter call them while they're commuting to work in the morning and ask them 5 questions. And then we basically transcribe and turn that into an actual blog post. So this could help take some of the work out of the actual capturing of that content.
That's right. You could just have the person record the conversation and send it off to either Fiverr or Rev and get it done.
Exactly. It's perfect. All right. Well, awesome. Great tool. Great marketing hack. All right. Now I just want to ask you about some of the other things that you're working on. I know that you're not just writing blog posts about marketing resolutions. You're a busy guy. Tell us some of the other things that you're working on.
Sure. So I run marketing for a cloud software service. So I'm busy during the week, which is when I do my my day job, and then during the weekends I write blog posts for myself. But we're driving massive demand for a high volume cloud service. So things that I'm working on right now, I'm a big fan of a CRO, so conversion rate optimization, and a marketing tool that I love is called Optimizely, and it's amazing how many things you can tweak on your website that will significantly improve your business. So as an example, we have call to action buttons on our site, and we change the words contact us to get quote from a salesperson, and that increased conversions over 200%.
Wow.
And so I love it because you just never know where the next increase is going to come from, and you can try stuff all the time. Headlines, colors, pictures. It's super easy to do, and it's a great marketing tool.
All right, awesome. And you've just written a book, right?
That's right. I wrote a book that came out a little over a year ago, actually. For a long time working in marketing, I've been running marketing teams for over 15 years, and it always amazed me the blind spots that people have in marketing, skills that they were never taught either in the first place, or maybe they came up out of one part of marketing like PR and had a very limited understanding of other parts of marketing. So I wrote essentially a handbook called The Professional Marketer, which I took the idea from. My wife is a former professional chef, and there's a book called The Professional Chef. And the concept is that they don't teach you recipes. They teach you the fundamentals, which you can then put together to make just about anything. So that's what The Professional Marketer is. It's a, you know, A to Z fundamentals. It takes you through, you know, marketing strategy all the way through to how to build a budget. It's, you know, people use it. They, you know, have it on their desk, and it's, you know, one day you're going to be asked to do something you don't know how to do. Size a market, write a press release, build a budget, what have you. And it's all in there. And that's the concept behind the book.
That's a really awesome concept, and the concept itself really resonates with me. Prior to this phase of my career, I was actually a personal chef for a couple of years. And as when people, you know, don't know how to cook and they ask me about cooking, I say it's not about recipes, it's actually about technique. If you understand the fundamentals of how to apply heat and how to cut things and really looking at all the different techniques of cooking, you can remix and reapply them however you want, regardless of the ingredients. So I really love this idea of a handbook for marketers that has all of those techniques. Where can people go to find out more about that book?
So it's available on Amazon. So just type in The Professional Marketer, or if you go to my blog, MatthewsOnMarketing.com, you can also find a link to it there.
Awesome. I'm going to put a link in the show note to the book as well, so that anybody listening that is interested in having this technique handbook by their side can go and find it.
Sounds great.
All right, cool. So I know that we are short on time today because we got started a little bit late, but I really I love the resolutions that you passed along. I think this is a lot of great information for people. Hopefully everyone listening will take at least one thing from this podcast and apply it today. And if not, you know, their loss. I think they're great ideas. But Tim, I want to thank you for coming on to the show today and passing along some of this knowledge.
Great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. And for everybody out there listening, we really do appreciate your time, your attention. We hope you tell everybody about this show. But even if you don't, thank you for the time that we spent together so far. And I hope to see you on the next episode of the True Voice Media Podcast. Take care, everyone. Have a good night. You've been listening to the True Voice Media Podcast. And you made it all the way to the end of the episode. I'm proud of you. But now that you're here, this is what we're going to need you to do. First of all, head on over to your favorite podcast platform and give us a rating. If you don't know where to start, go to truevoicemedia.com/feedback. Next, if you're not yet a subscriber, it's time you fix that. Head over to truevoicemedia.com/podcast to subscribe by iTunes, Stitcher, or email. If you really want to show us some love, visit our partners and sponsors who help make this show possible. I know the show feels free, but trust me, it's not. I sure ain't done publishing these episodes, so I sure hope you're not done listening. I'll see you on the next one. Take care.